So I was baptized three times. The first time I was baptized, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and my uncle was a priest, and my dad was presenting me as an infant to be baptized. And my uncle received me and announced to my father and to those who were present there that I would be baptized under the name Thomas, my middle name, because in the Catholic Church, you're not allowed to be baptized unless there is a saint named after your name. And so my uncle said, there is no Saint Quentin, so I will baptize him under Thomas. And my dad, so I'm told, grabbed a hold of me and pulled me away from my uncle. And I think they were playing tug of war, my mom describes it. My dad had my hands and my uncle had my feet. And they were both tugging. And my dad said, you will baptize him under Quentin. My uncle said, I will baptize him under Thomas. And they both pulled. And I was being stretched. You remember the stretch, you know, the kind of little thing? So my dad insisted, there must be a Saint Quentin. My uncle said, there's not. I know these things. And my dad said, there's a prison named San Quentin. There must be a Saint Quentin. My uncle gave in. Well, there is a prison named San Quentin. I suppose there is. So I was baptized under Quentin because of the prison. My second baptism came at the Kansas City Baptist Tabernacle. When I was 7 years old, I went with a friend to the Kansas City Baptist Tabernacle, and we had a Sunday school teacher for all of us 27-year-olds who announced that if you had not been baptized by immersion, you would burn in hell. And then he described to us, these 7-year-olds, what hell was like. Now you can only imagine the eyes of a 7-year-old imagining what hell was like. And then he asked each one of us, have you been baptized by immersion? Have you been baptized by immersion? And of course I said no. And then he said, do you want to go to hell? And I said, no, I don't think so. And he said, then come with me. And he had a prayer. And he said, can you read? And I said, yes. And he said, read this prayer. So I read it. And in it, I made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And then he said, come with me and take off all your clothes and put on this white robe. And the next thing I know, I was in water being baptized at the Kansas City Baptist Tabernacle. And today, I'm still on their rolls. That was my second baptism. The third time I was baptized, I was in a Baptist service, and an invitation was given. And the pastor had talked about God's love, a little different from the other experience, and how God knew my name. In fact, the scripture passage you just heard from Isaiah was the passage that was read. And that God wanted me to have eternal life as a gift. And that if I would receive the gift of that eternal life in my heart, I could, as a witness, be baptized, symbolizing death to the old life and life anew. And the invitation was given to whomever would like to come and receive that wonderful gift of life. And I came. and I was baptized. A third time. You give meaning to the story. How many of you have been baptized? Raise your hand. Yeah. So, I'm going to ask you to preach today. I want you to share the story of your baptism with the people sitting around you. Everybody scooch together. Everybody share the story about your baptism. I'm not going to give you a long time. It has to be a short sermon, unlike mine. And then we'll go back and we'll begin to tell the story of the scripture passage. Share the story with one another about your baptism. Okay, I get to do this to cut your sermon off, but you don't get to cut my sermon off. So I know, you're still talking, I'm still going here. So I want you to finish the stories later and talk about these and complete the stories if you didn't get a chance to. I understand that, Craig, when you got baptized, Joe got baptized too, I think. Is that right? No? No? No, you didn't get baptized, Joe? Yeah, he said he did get baptized. Yeah, he got baptized. Oh, really? Yeah? Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. Oh, okay. Yeah. That was... Yeah, that's really something. Okay. And then you guys got baptized together? Yeah? The whole family. That was a neat story. Yeah. Wow. You know, the baptism... I thought about preaching this sermon from the baptistry, but that would be kind of weird. So... changed my mind. But this is every year on the first Sunday after Epiphany, which is the Christian calendar is what we celebrate. Epiphany is the season between Christmas and Lent. Some of you may know or not know that. And the word Epiphany, it comes from the Greek epiphaneia, which means manifestation or appearance. And what we do during Epiphany is we recall the ways that Jesus... true identity became manifest. So that's what Epiphany is all about. It's the recognition of who Jesus was and how Jesus' identity was revealed in the story of his life. And that's this time that we call Epiphany after Christmas. And so as we identify the ways that Jesus identity became manifest in the story of his life. This probably is one of the clearest, isn't it? This story about Jesus in the Jordan River, baptized by his cousin John. Now, what I want to share with you is baptism was an old ritual. It wasn't new. It wasn't new with Jesus. It wasn't new with John. The Jews baptized new converts to their faith from other religions. I had a really good friend who was a Jewish rabbi, and they have a baptistry as well. If you go into a synagogue and you ask, they will show you their baptistry. They too have a baptistry. Did you know that? And if you become Jewish, if you're a new convert, you're baptized into the Jewish faith. And so the Christian faith doesn't hold the only ritual of baptism. We actually get it from the Jewish faith. Does that make sense? Sure. So this wasn't something new. In fact, the Essenes were a conservative sect, and they rejected the other Jews as corrupt. They said they were beyond saving. And they were baptized repeatedly at Qumran. So, and they had this enclave, and you may have heard of it, and we found there the Dead Sea Scrolls. You familiar with those? And that's where they kept this remarkable society. And they also have in their own area a place of baptism that we've discovered. And interestingly enough, they were baptized in blood. And they were baptized naked. So you can imagine what that must have been like for a new convert to enter into the Essene sect. It's a ritual of baptism. And it obviously was something that was very sacred to them. In both cases, baptism meant in immersion, mikvah, the baptismal pool. In both cases, baptism symbolized a spiritual cleansing. It was a symbol of the washing away of sin. And in this sense, it also represented a new beginning. offered by God, a sacrifice of the self, offered by God, and up to God. Now, Jesus' cousin John was called the Baptist because he used the ritual as a symbol of repentance, forgiveness, a cleansing from sin. And then through the ages, the question has been raised, so why did Jesus need to be baptized? Why would Jesus need a cleansing from sin? Jesus had no sin. Why would Jesus need to be baptized? Some say because it was a way for Jesus to identify with and affirm the ministry of John. Some say it gave John the opportunity to announce who Jesus was. And others say Jesus wanted to set an example for all of us to follow. Good answers. But for me, a little too simple. Like fire, water is almost universal as a religious symbol. And it carries not one, but many meanings. This is true of our biblical faith. In Genesis 1, the Spirit of God does what? Yeah, it hovers over the deep. God creates the world out of a watery chaos. It separates the dry land from the waters and shuts out the waters in the sky with a fixed firmament. And a few chapters later, humanity is destroyed because of its moral choices that defy God's order. Israel was delivered from the Egyptians by passing through the waters. Israel crossed into the Promised Land when God led them safely across the Jordan, and to the ancients, the sea waves gobbling up the beach seemed bent on destroying the dry land. The storm lashed at the earth, the floods destroyed the cities. Water was a symbol of death. And like fire, water was also a symbol of life. You know, in that arid region, battles were fought over wells. Towns sprang up beside streams. Water was the source of life. If you didn't have it, there was widespread suffering. There still is today. Without it. And remember Jesus meeting the woman at the well? Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But Jesus said, those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty again. And if you and I want water, we turn on a tap, right? But in that place, in those days, the ever-flowing fountain, well, that was a symbol of endless life. Because water was life. And thus Jesus participated in the form of an old Jewish ritual. But I believe that Jesus transformed the meaning of it by adding to it. Baptism still means for us repentance and forgiveness and cleansing and renewal, but it also means, as it meant for Jesus, death and life. It means for Jesus cross and resurrection. And one of the universal themes of the human story is that our journey never ends where it begins. T.S. Eliot wrote, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time." Or as he says elsewhere, "In my beginning is my end." Baptism was the beginning of Jesus' mission for God. It was his answer to God's call to give himself for the world. And where did he begin? With death, with resurrection, buried with him in the Jordan, in his former life in the quiet carpenter shop at Nazareth, normal human dreams and desires, perhaps to marry, perhaps to have a family, perhaps to grow old and watch what his children might become, but buried with him in the Jordan, the freedom to abuse his power, demand submission from the world, avoid the way of the cross. And this is where the cross was decided. Where Jesus laid down his life in service to God. But he rose from the water to new life on a new mission, his destiny before God, his end and his beginning. Marcus Borg says Jesus had a conversion, not in the sense of changing religions or being lost and saved, but in more like William James' sense of process, whether sudden or gradual, whereby religious impulses and energies become central to your life. In the innocence of childhood, the adolescent search for self completed, the young adult career begun, and Jesus turned to the ultimate quest. Who am I? And what does my life mean? Why am I here? And he answered, "I am a child of God, called by name. I am about God's work." And God approved. In other words, Jesus' baptism was his wholehearted immersion into his messianic mission, and it was the acceptance of his vocation. And the practice of baptism by immersion, clearly practiced in the early church, disappeared in the church for several reasons. Water was scarce in many places. As a rite of initiation, it was applied to Christian infants. And who wants to immerse a baby? Really? Here and there, different fringe sects practiced immersion. But during the Reformation, a group of free-thinking Christians had a theological conflict with the Catholic Church and with the Protestant churches, and they said Jesus was baptized by immersion, and so we also ought to be baptized by immersion in the same way that Jesus was. They also said an infant can't choose, for at faith they can't accept an identity, so they decided to baptize only adults upon their profession of faith. And they were called Anabaptists. Since most of them had been baptized as infant, the word Anabaptist means rebaptized. They were verbally abused. They were persecuted by the Christian powers of their day. In some places, the magistrates decided that since these people loved being baptized by immersion so much, they would just hold them underwater until they died. They were baptized to death. Can you imagine that? People willing to lay down their lives for the right to have a free faith? and we are their spiritual heirs. What does baptism mean for us? What did it mean for you? Repentance? Forgiveness? Cleansing? Renewal? A remembrance of the death and the resurrection of Jesus? The prospect of your own death and resurrection? This is where we also begin and end, dying and rising with Christ. This is where we also come to put childhood and adolescence behind us when we get serious about who we are and what our life will mean. And so we willfully choose and accept the destiny that God has for us, just as Jesus willfully accepted the destiny that God had for Him. And we accept to be called God's child by name. And we accept to do God's work in the world because that becomes our vocation. For Christ, the baptism was a symbol of sacrifice. You lay down your life for God and you take it up again with God's purpose. And do you know what that means? You are somebody in the world. You have the vocation of using your life, your gifts, your resources for God. You have died to the old life and risen to a new calling. And usually after that baptism happens, the people say, Amen, Alleluia. We're here on a mission. We are the baptized. And if you're one of the baptized, every time you witness another baptism, every time you walk into the sanctuary, every time you see the baptistry, it's a visual focal point of the sanctuary for a reason. You know? We put it up there because we want you to see it. Every time you walk in, to remember your baptism. Remember who you are. It's the word my father gave me when I was an adolescent and I would leave on Saturday night. And I would be going out with friends. He always said those words. You remember who you are. That's all he had to say. Did I know what they meant? Yep. You remember who you are. Live like it. Live like it. You know right from wrong. You know how to show love. So do it. Remember who you are. We have only two ordinances in the Baptist Church, so called because Christ ordained them, baptism and communion, but both depict the same reality, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ and our identification with Him. Our willing acceptance of His identity, our vocation before God, to belong to God, to be a child of God, to sacrifice ourselves for God's sake, loving God by loving others, all of us. And of course, we emerge from the pool wet behind the ears, don't we? Brand new, still learning, too ignorant. too needy to be proud, too ignorant to be arrogant, neophytes. And you know what? I think we're always still a little bit wet behind the ears. Beginners. We're still trying to figure it out, aren't we? How about you? Still trying to figure it out? I hope so. How do we live for Christ in the world? How can we fulfill this vocation that God has given us? How can we be molded by God more fully? And you know, we're too new to be proud. We're too inexperienced to be arrogant, all of us. We're just trying to figure this out. We're just one step or two beyond the baptistry, really. And we're all dependent on God to help us. Every single one of you. I'm going to celebrate 30 years of ministry to the gospel ordination this year, but in a deeper sense, you know, I was ordained just like you were on the day I was baptized. I think it was that third time. You see, your baptism was your ordination. Your vocation is to live for God. I dare say we all need to work a little harder at it. In early Christian art, it was symbolized by a boat. And that's why churches are built the way they are. You notice that the top of our roof looks kind of like the bottom of a boat? There's a reason for that. The ark. Those who were saved passing through water. Cool, huh? We're in the boat together. Do you know it? Cool, huh? You know what that means? We kind of need each other, don't we? We're all in the boat. And every Sunday we gather here, and I hope you'll look up. See the boat. Here we are. Because part of what it means to be the saved passing through the waters is we've got to help each other get through this. There's a few folks in the boat with us who are really hurting right now. Maybe we can help, huh? There's a great story about three persons caught adrift at sea. They were resigned to spend their time together for the foreseeable future in the boat, just like us. Unfortunately, they didn't get along with each other, the three people in the boat. So you know what they did? They divided the boat in three sections. That seemed like a natural thing to do, right? So they each had their own section of the boat, and the first person decided that he was going to mark off his section of the boat by using the color yellow. And so he painted his section of the boat yellow. No complaints. The second person liked flowery wallpaper, so he wallpapered his entire section of the boat. No problem. And the third person liked bubbling water fountains, and so he began to drill a hole in the floor of the boat. And the other two said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. We're all in this boat together. And what one of us does, for good or ill, well, it's going to affect us all. Because we're all in the boat together. And who you decide to be in the world has consequences for all of us. You're always free to decide who you want to be. But God invites you to follow Jesus, who chose God's destiny for His destiny. And as members of the community of Christ, we have identity, we have vocation, we have meaning in this world. We're all the baptized. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. And remember, we're kind of all in this boat together. And whether you realize it or not, we need each other. Don't we? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the meaning of baptism. We thank you for our baptism, and we celebrate, God, that day when we chose to follow you and to live our lives for you and to be buried in the old life, to rise again to the new life, and set apart on a mission to be your disciple and to share your love and to proclaim your good news and to offer healing to the sick, comfort to the grieving, and to care for one another as you have called each of us, as you have named each of us. And as you bring us into this place together today, we pray, Lord, that we will remember our baptism and who we are as your children and live like it. So we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.